You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Dog Pound, start the season off with the freshest Cleveland Browns gear, the freshest. Visit the team shop at First Energy Stadium or shop on the official Browns mobile app. Time to bark, Dog Pound, and you do that by wearing all that great gear. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Great conversation we had there with Mary Kay Cabot. We are going to have Terry Pluto join us a little later in the show. We'd like to get the columnist's perspective for the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com on all that is going on Browns-wise. We're going to do a little fact or fiction today, too, right?
Yes, we certainly are. We certainly will.
All right.
Yes.
And you teased us. Is the Miz? What's the status of the Miz?
I'm pretty sure he's probably sleeping right now since he's back in L.A.
He does a lot of sleep in that guy.
Yes, but I'm pretty sure he's going to – we'll see. We'll see. I feel good about him. I feel good about him. But we're going to go quickly to Jim in Brunswick. Yes. Jim, welcome to CBD.
Yeah, how you guys doing?
Good, Jim.
I would start Johnny. I mean, I think he needs to practice, obviously. He needs to see the speed of the game. I mean, when I watched the Detroit game, you know, people talk about that 16-yard run. It was such a good play. Well, in my opinion, I didn't think he needed to get out of there at the time. And when I watched it again, I saw, I think it was number 18.
Taylor Gabriel was open on a dig from the left side. Right.
He was wide open. I mean, but that's something he needs to see.
Right. But let me ask you this, though. What's wrong with getting 16 yards? Why does he need to see that if he saw a lane where he could get 16 yards and slide safely?
Because he would have thrown it. It would have been a touchdown.
It would not have been. It would not have been a touchdown.
It would have probably been a 20-yard game.
No, it wouldn't have been a touchdown, but I can answer the question for him. Because running for 16, he got the 16, and great. In that particular situation, he had a wide-open window. But I think in more cases, if he's choosing to run when the pass option is there, he's exposing himself.
That
to
particular
injury.
Play, though, he began looking right.
It was
he
an invitation
right.
to run.
He looked
on the
right,
other
and
run,
the guys did. Hold on. He looked right. The two guys that he looked at on the right side of the field were not open. He did feel that the pocket was collapsing, and so he stepped up and ran. Gabriel would have been on that play the way that it was his third read. So if he had a clean pocket, he probably could have come back there. But given that he felt there was pressure coming from the outside, and listen, after he'd been hit twice before, I don't blame him. He took what was an easy, safe first down for him.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is if he plays more – he might realize that, I do have a little more time.
I totally agree. That's why, listen, if you were asking me right now, what are the two things Johnny Manziel needs to improve the most, it would be the following. Number one, there are times where I still see him predetermine what side of the field he wants to go to. Now, he may be being coached that way. We give you these reads, and that's it. I see that happen sometimes. What I want to see him is be able to go off of that initial side of the field read and come off of that more quickly so that he can go through his progressions from the pocket more quickly. The other thing to remember about that particular game is I thought he hung in the pocket very well a couple of times, took big hits.
Exceptionally well.
Brian Hoyer was dropped back 15 times and was under pressure once, did not get touched by the Detroit Lions. Johnny Manziel dropped back 14 times, was under pressure on 9 of them, and was hit 5 times. So that's another reason to say let's see what he does when he has the protection because clearly Johnny Manziel is a work in progress. I'm not here sitting here telling you that he is not a work in progress, but on that particular play, that would have been getting to his third read, which is Gabriel, and I think if he had a cleaner pocket, he would have been able to do that. I think still his instinct in that situation is I see an easy lane, I'm going to move the chains, so he took it. Ultimately, you want to see him go through his progressions, have the time to do so, do it quickly enough that he can deliver the football to Gabriel.
I was happy that he chose to throw as much as he did in other situations where I think he could have been inclined to run because of the pressure. He hung in the pocket, took the hit, delivered accurate throws. That impressed me. If I had a list of things that impressed me, I'm putting that number one. The other runs, and he had a couple of dangerous runs within those other runs, and that's what's got to cut down, or his time playing will be severely shortened. And that is what caused teams to avoid drafting him. That is what, if you had to talk about it, it's not pictures in Vegas and all the other things that come with Johnny Football. It is the tendency to run, the default setting that he has to run, and he's still going to deal with that even when he knows the offense better, even when he makes his reads better. He's just got to become more judicious and think a little bit more about self-preservation along with playmaking.
Sure,
Ed in Akron joins us now. Hello, Ed.
Hey, good evening, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
The question I'm posing is, let's say Johnny's picked as the starter next for Game 3. Should we consider at that point, and this is a typical Cleveland backup as the best starter, should we consider trading Brian Hoyer at that point to avoid, Johnny making it, and we expect Johnny's going to make mistakes. Everyone's jumping on him and wanting the Brian to start at that point, and so we're going back and forth again that we have done over the years.
No, I don't. I hear your point. You're saying trade Hoyer to avoid a controversy down the road is what the essence of what your point is.
That's correct.
Right? And my answer is no, that is not why you make a deal. You hang on to the assets you have if you believe they are assets. I believe at this point you could view Hoyer as more of an asset than you likely are going to get from the outside. Rex Grossman comes in with 12 years of experience, comes in with some more starting experience than any quarterback on the team, including a Super Bowl start. But there's reasons why he was still out there. And there's reasons why Hoyer was on a football team, okay? So you got to keep that in mind. And finding, just simply saying we'll get somebody else doesn't solve your issue. You've got to think about your depth chart with each guy being, after the starter, being a heartbeat away from playing.
Totally. That's exactly how you have to look at it in the National Football League, because that's exactly what they are. That's exactly what they are. All right, when we return, Terry Pluto will join us from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com as Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, rolls on here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, ESPN 850 WKNR.